This is Kimmy Culp, the host of All the Wiser and a Little Wiser, and I'm here with my producer, Erica. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Kimmy.
So today we're going to talk about something that you and I are both fascinated about, which is locked-in syndrome. And last week we shared a conversation with the young, incredible Victoria Arlen, who spent essentially 4 years in a coma, two of which she was awake and locked in her body. So we've dug in to learn more about this. It's fascinating.
Terrifying, really.
Oh, terrifying. Completely. I think the reason I'm so obsessed, Erica, is because that's kind of my fear. I'm claustrophobic. Like, my heart races in elevators. Like, if I think the door is locked, it always has been. It's really interesting because I speak publicly and have done so in front of thousands of people, and people are like, how in the world can you public speak? And I'm like, well, I can't ride in an elevator, but I can. The notion of being trapped in your body, and she used the example of that moment where her nose, she wanted to scratch her nose and it scratched. Oh, the itch was so bad and she couldn't obviously communicate with her body or anyone in the room. And I think that, you know, distinction, because there's a little bit or maybe a lot of confusion between a coma and locked-in syndrome, is that in a coma, there's a complete absence of wakefulness. So you're essentially asleep, no sleep-wake cycle. And with locked-in syndrome, there's awareness, there's wakefulness within the soul, if you will. And with Victoria, she experienced both. And the locked-in, the awakeness of her body, came literally with the blink of an eye and the back of an ambulance being transferred from her home back to the hospital for treatment. So yeah, I mean, what stuck out to you?
Well, just the moment where she is in the hospital, her mom is there, and the doctors just insisting that there's absolutely no hope, that they should really prepare that Victoria was going to die, and that her mom's crying at the very brusque and insensitive way that the doctor communicated that information, which we could talk about on a whole nother episode, and not being able to comfort the person who is caring for you and not being able to communicate that you are still there and that you're still fighting. I mean, I just really felt like I was in the room with her at that moment, and I could just imagine the frustration of not being able to communicate and comfort her mom.
She really did so vividly paint that moment of her mother's just that deep moan of grief and anger, and just seeing her mom in that immense pain and wanting to say, I'm here, I'm alive, don't. And
that's the thing with locked-in syndrome that I didn't realize, and when we were doing some research about it, it is incredibly difficult to diagnose. And you would think that there would be a way to know, through brainwave activity or whatnot, but a person can be locked in for, you know, months, even years before anyone realizes what's actually happening.
And then one way, there are people who have eye movement, and there's that insane example of the journalist in France who had locked-in syndrome and awoke and was able to communicate with one of his eyes. And with his eye, he typed one letter at a time, his memoir about being trapped in his body, which was then turned into a feature film, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, which I now want to see. And 3 days after he published his memoir, he died. So there are instances where they do know and there is communication. And we have interviewed Steve Gleason, who spoke to us with his eyes. So we understand a lot about that. But that was not Victoria's case. But one of the things I thought was really interesting about Victoria was, if it was me and I spent 4 years in a coma and came out of it, my instinct, because of my fears and phobias or whatever you want to call them, would be I would prefer to be in a coma versus a locked in body.
Oh, hell yeah. No doubt.
Because of that. But how she was able to reintegrate into life, she said she's so like deeply absorbed everything around her because of her stillness. And through hearing her brothers do her homework, having her parents read to her, having them watch the news, having her listen to all of the medical dialogue around her body, that she had just absorbed everything. I mean, she went back 11. She comes back at 15 and says, I refuse to miss a grade. I will graduate with my brothers. You give me one semester and I will prove to you that I am capable and ready. And had she been in a true coma, she would have lost 4 years of knowledge and education. So I think it's interesting because I would have said, oh, no, just lock me in. But that awakeness and awareness really propelled her to kind of engage and get back to her life, I think, in a much quicker way than had she had lost all that time.
Yes, absolutely. And we can't understate the importance and the significance that she had this incredible family.
Oh my gosh. They're like insane.
The most incredible family. I mean, the story about how her brother would say, you know, oh, tuck Victoria's socks into her pajama pants. That's how she likes it. I mean, this girl was loved up and down and cared for like she was just, you know, a regular functioning member of the family.
Yeah. I mean, it was this family and the level of patience. I mean, like, I'm like snapping at people over them losing one of their Crocs. And I'm like, you lost it again. Meanwhile, like, oh, the patience and the love and the gentleness and the care, which is what saved her life. I mean, that's what the story was about, was a different family. She would not be here. And then the other thing that I think is really interesting about Victoria is that we talked at the end about the burden to some extent of her recovery and how public it is, because these families reach out to her who have a loved one or a child who's in a vegetative state, and they find hope in her. And it is so rare. I mean, that she would go from 4 years in a coma and full mobility. I mean, mm-hmm. become a competitive athlete and Dancing with the Stars. She's a correspondent for ESPN. I mean, a very accomplished young woman.
I remember, I think she said that she's the only one that she knows of who has recovered from her type of condition.
Yeah. And so these families call her, and she talked about they want her to give them hope. And I think she knows statistically, she doesn't want to provide a hope that, you know, maybe isn't going to come to fruition or provide a false expectation. So she said she's have to be really careful with that communication and thoughtful with all of these families, because it sounds like people are just constantly reaching out. I thought she was also really wonderful at the end of the interview of not tying up her story in a big red bow for us and just saying, you know, it's still a process and it's still painful. And finding her identity outside of this piece of her life, because when people talk about her, this is always the starting point and who she can, you know, go on to be. So I don't know. Yeah. It was, she's really, really something special.
And to your point, when you are such an inspiration to so many people and people are looking at you as, you know, this superhero and getting advice from you. And then she says, you know, what happens when I make a misstep or I do something that people don't agree with? Then she hears about it tenfold. And, you know, she said one minute they love you and then the next minute they don't like you. And so she tries her best not to listen to any outside noise.
I agree. Speaking of outside noise, hello to Paco.
I know. I'm sorry, little Paco.
Yeah. So I think if you have not listened to Victoria, it's beautiful. Absolutely worth your time. So go back and listen. And I'm also going to link to The Diving Bell and the Butterfly in the show notes, both the book and the film, because I'm just intrigued to learn more about being locked in your body and what you can learn about yourself and the world from that deeply unique experience.
Yes. And thank you to friend of the show, Lorelai, for pointing out The Diving Bell and the Butterfly to me immediately, because I completely forgot about that movie and it is absolutely worth going back and watching.
Okay. So everyone go watch that. Thank you guys for showing up. We hope you are enjoying your summer in spite of everything that is happening in the world. And as always, are incredibly grateful to you for making the time to listen.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Toodles.
Ew.
Totally ew. Okay.